has some good anointed preaching. Amen. Someone said, boy, you think a lot of yourself. Well, if I don't think anything of me, nobody else will. Come on, I'm not going to false advertise. I'm not going to tell you the greatest thing you ever heard. But I am going to talk to you this morning about mouth-to-mouth manipulation. Listen, kids, listen. Mouth-to-mouth manipulation. Them boys saying, hot dog, she's going to talk about kissing this morning. This is not a lecture on how to French kiss. Mouth-to-mouth manipulation. Turn with me in the Bible to Mark chapter 7, verses 6 and 7. The title is not mine, but the sermon is. Mouth-to-mouth manipulation. The Pharisees are asking Jesus a question about his disciples eating with unwashed hands. They were always trying to trick Jesus, always trying to get him to say, always making these hypotheses. And you know, when people don't have a good argument about what they believe, they make up something that they try to turn it around in their favor. And they were trying to do this to Jesus. And here was his answer to that question. He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah the prophet of you, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. Well, he cut right to the chase. As it is written, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. How be it? In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Teaching for doctrine. Doctrine is important. The commandments of men. But I'll tell you what, all of our little rules are not doctrine. All of our little idiosyncrasies are not doctrine. But this Bible is full of doctrine. We need to be careful. Listen to Isaiah 29 and 13. This is what Jesus was quoting. Wherefore the Lord said, forasmuch as this people draw near to me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of man. Their fears are taught by the precepts of man. Mouth to mouth manipulation. Father, I ask that you would add your blessing to the reading of your word. Now there are four causes of spiritual blindness. Four causes of spiritual blindness. One, drawing near to God with the mouth only. Drawing near to God with the mouth only. There's a lot of that going on. Honoring Him with the lips only. Do you know that we are to honor God with our lives, not with our lips only? You know anybody can give lip service to things? I've oftentimes told the story of Brother Catter and his boy Daniel, and Daniel's job was to carry out the trash. And he would say, Daniel, carry out the trash. And Daniel would say, oh, I love you, Pop. I love you. I love you. I love you. And Gene would say, Daniel, love me while you're carrying out the trash. And that's what Jesus says. Don't just give me lip service. Don't think you impress me because you sing or because you quote scriptures or because you have a good attendance record or even because you pay your tithe. Those things don't impress me. Lip service doesn't impress me. It's a heart relationship. Many people are honoring God with their lips only and then removing their heart far from God, removing your heart, we must be in love with Jesus. Now, by the looks of it, some people are in love with a particular kind of church service. Some people are in love with their denomination. Some people are in love with the leaders of their denomination. Some people are in love with their pastors. Some people are in love with their Christian heritage. Some people are in love with just particular songs. But he said, we have to be in love with him. Hallelujah. Well, there's just two or three are gathered together in my name. There am I in the midst of them. So what? Well, if he's the one you love, let me tell you something. I don't need you. But I need Sister Tanner. You say, well, you're supposed to love us. I do. But I don't love you like I love her. I mean, I cannot talk to you and it doesn't bother me. If I don't talk to her, it bothers me. I mean, we can be together and have a good time no matter what we're doing. Because that's where my love is. I'm the object of her love. Fearing him only after the precepts of men. You know, we are moved by what people say an awful lot. The Pharisees, or the religious people, were doing mouth-to-mouth manipulation. We, a lot of times, fear the Lord after the precepts of men, and not the precepts of God. We don't fear the Lord for who he is. We fear the Lord because of what men tell us to do. There are people in Latin America that beat their bodies because there's a religion there that teaches you need to do that. They take once a year and walk the way of what they call the way of the cross, all in the name of Jesus, and beat themselves to a bloody pulp. And do that all in the name of Jesus because men said, that's what you ought to do. And they're proud of the fact that they can do that. Hang themselves on crosses. Actually have themselves nailed in their hands right to the cross. Just like Jesus was nailed to the cross. They're doing it not for the love of God, but for the fear of man. Man says, if you don't prove yourself to God, God won't love you. Well, I want you to know God knows all about you, and in spite of what he knows, he still loves you and me. In spite of what he knows about you. In spite. Mouth to mouth. Manipulation. We see it today. Everywhere. Now, along with the title comes the story of the kissing fish. How many have ever heard of the kissing fish? Ever heard of the kissing fish? It's a fish that lives in the Caribbean on the coral reefs. And it's actually known as the kissing fish. It's about 2 or 3 inches long. It's very fast moving and it's bright blue. It's a wonder everybody doesn't have some in their aquarium. But most fascinating is its kiss. It's not uncommon to see two of these fish with their lips pressed and their fins flashing. They give the appearance of a serious underwater romance. But looks can be deceiving. For what appears to be a gentle friend in the sea is actually a pint-sized bully of the deep. For the kissing fish is territorial. His little square foot of coral, it's his. He wants no one else in there. He found it. He staked it out. He wants nobody else to come near, not even another of his own kind. And if you dare to come into his little foot of coral reef, and challenges the boundary, he takes you on jaw to jaw. And what appears to be kissing is actually underwater martial arts. mouth to mouth, lip locking, literal jawboning. Power moves with the tongue. Sounds kind of cute, doesn't it? But mouth to mouth manipulation isn't limited to the Caribbean. It is alive and well in the church today. I said it is alive and well in the church today. Preachers who preach to you, if you will give X amount of dollars to their ministry, you will be blessed. I was amazed this morning, Lee, that as our brother talked about the seed principle, and this is where they get all their teaching from, the seed principle. When he talked about the seed principle, he never once talked about that, about getting money. He talked about the seed of Christ being planted in our hearts, and as it's watered by the word in prayer, it will produce a Christ-like nature. And if it doesn't produce a Christ-like nature, you never got born again. Come on. You never got born again. Some of you people are only as good as you are because of the Christ that's in you. There's none good but God. Only that nature that Jesus put in you. Only that nature, that seed that was born in you, and you produced it, and you watered it, and you prayed over the thing, and you let it grow, and therefore the Christ-like spirit comes out. But in the church world today, there's so much maneuvering by the mouth, by the words that we speak, and I realize the Bible says that words... Fitly spoken are like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. And from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And words are very, very important. But the Bible also warns us, be careful not to try to manipulate with your words. And so much of that's going on today. Preachers are not speaking about God, they're speaking for God, and that really sounds good if they really heard from God. I said if they really heard from God, but if what they're doing is twisting around something for gain. I read all of the attributes of the Pharisee this morning, and I was going to read them to us here, but I was afraid it would offend too many of us. But one of the things is that they were religious for gain. And you know what the major text is? It's come to God and get rich, get gain. And we need to be careful that we're not manipulated by this mouth-to-mouth warfare. And let me tell you something about the Holy Ghost. I don't care who mimics tongues, they're wrong. And I hear major preachers who are so caught up in their own mouth-to-mouth manipulation that they mimic tongues and make fun of it. And the Bible says if you offend the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven you. I wonder how some men can say what they can say. Mouth to mouth manipulation. I was telling Brother John, I won't mention any names I did to him, but I won't mention any names. A famous preacher was announced to be in a particular church. 5,000 people plus showed up, packed the place out. The famous preacher had the reputation of divine healing. When I heard that he was going to be there, I told someone I wouldn't walk across the road to listen to this guy. Because his life has not produced the fruits of Christianity, even though he had signs and wonders and miracles, so to speak. And I said, number one, he won't preach. And so I called back afterwards and said, how did it go? He said, well, number one, he didn't preach. What did he do? He did mouth-to-mouth manipulation. He said, somebody's here with a backache. Well, 5,000 people. What are the odds that somebody, Rick, has a backache? here's got cancer. Out of 5,000 people, so probably several people have been diagnosed with cancer. If the doctor don't know what's wrong with you, he tells you got cancer. The truth of the matter, you don't have to have anything but healed, if that's what you want. If that's your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus. Is that what he said? I am the Lord that what? Healeth me. And then he went on for about 30 minutes calling out people, and people thought, oh, glorious, wonderful. And I understand that some people were actually touched in that service, but that didn't mean he had anything to do with it. Didn't mean he had a thing to do with it. And then after that, he kind of maneuvered around for about 30 minutes and walked out of the building and left the 5,000 people who came in to hear. Now, if I announce this morning that John was going to preach tonight and going to pray for the sick, which he will in any service that he cares to do, it wouldn't be 5,000 people show up. In fact, the folks that don't come on Sunday nights wouldn't come tonight. Makes no any difference. But yet this guy, I don't know if anybody's ever been healed other than all this general, this mouth-to-mouth manipulation. But I'm going to tell you something a couple of weeks ago, and more than one time through the years, John Adams has laid hands on me and I've been healed. But he gets no accolades. Mouth-to-mouth manipulation. You are being manipulated, friend, and you need to watch out. Because the enemy is out there to manipulate you. Listen to what Jude said in Jude 16. Now, don't look for Jude chapter 16. It's Jude 1:16. It's only one chapter in the book of Jude. One. The half-brother of Jesus. Now, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouths speaketh great swelling words, having men's person in admiration because of advantage. What this actually means is this: they murmur, complain, and live in their own lust and possessions. They pretend devotions in order to gain money, influence, and power of the rich and of the poor. Separate themselves from the true church and those who demand holy living, which they leave under the pretense of superior wisdom and ideas. I dealt with a man about the motion picture theater, and you know what he said to me? I've moved on beyond that. I'm smarter than that. I'm smarter than that. Well, he probably is. He buys the R-rated movies to watch on his own TV. He doesn't have to go to the theater and watch them. Just wait a few months and they'll come out on DVD and you can put it in your DVD player and you can watch all the nudity and the nakedness and the filth and the ungodliness you want to right there in your own house with your Bible sitting on your coffee table collecting dust. Come on. Mouth to mouth. And someone said, well, I'm smarter than that. Let me tell you something. We don't get smarter than God. We need to learn to live. Let me ask you this question. Have you been doing mouth-to-mouth manipulation to God? How about in your worship? Do you go home mad sometimes through the week because you worshiped him on Sunday and he didn't dance your tune all week long? And you were disgusted with the fact that you went and you praised God and you worshiped and you paid your tithes and you still have problems. You know what? You were mouth-to-mouth manipulation. That's all you were doing. You were trying to manipulate God to get him to do something for you in our worship. You know what he said? He said, your worship is in vain. You know what the thing that has taken the world and the church world by storm in the last few years is? Worship. Worship and what they call worship. I mean, I cannot understand some of the things they call worship. Come on. I mean, worship, 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 worship. Worship, worship. He said, worship me in spirit. Most worship is in soul. Makes my soul feel good. Come on. Most worship is ministering to the flesh. Most people can't conjure up a worship if the music's not just right. Come on. They can't worship God if the preaching's not just right. If somebody has not just pulled them out and shaken them good and said, come on up here and slip me $5 and I'll guarantee you before you get home. The guy comes on Sunday night. Pick up that phone right now. God! Oh, he just spoke to me. Pay you $10,000 now. I'll guarantee you. Let me tell you about this lady. Got a new Cadillac. One got a new car. This lady got a new house. Oh my. Oh. If you have a $100 bill in your wallet, give it right now. Quick. Move it up there quick because you're going to get $500 before the end of the day. But you know what? They're not that stupid. I'm stupid. I'd say you get $500 in 3 months. In 3 months, you forget about it. You've already moved on. You're ready for another sucker punch. Somebody say amen. You didn't know I wasn't going to preach so good this morning, did you? Mouth to mouth manipulation. We try to manipulate God in our giving. We try to manipulate God in our working. Lord, I've worked for you. We try to manipulate God with great, swelling words. Tell me something I've never heard before. Do you know you can take this book and prove about anything under God's sun in this book? But it's line upon line and precept upon precept. And if it doesn't say it from the beginning to the end, it probably isn't made to be a doctrine. Because the doctrines of this book start out in the beginning with God. Amen. Amen. And him that cometh, let him come unto me. Come on. Hallelujah. This book is about separation from the world. This book is about holy living. This book is not about mouth-to-mouth manipulation. This book is about a sincere heart. Now, finally, there are seven commands in Jude for the Christian. Seven commands. Number one, build up yourselves on your most holy faith. That's what he said. Number two, pray in the Holy Ghost. Now, how can you do that if you don't even have the Holy Ghost? Duh. That cuts out 90% of the church. They don't even believe that they're like those guys said, we never even knew that there was a Holy Ghost that you can pray through. Now, we know the Holy Ghost, but we never had him pray through us. He said, pray. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourself in the love of God. You keep yourself in the love of God. You. You do it. I liked what Clinton said about that cigarette this morning, didn't you? Oh, man, that tickled me. He said a man came, wanted to be delivered. The boy saved, and he wanted to be delivered of tobacco. Wanted to be delivered. Couldn't get delivered. Clinton said, I know he was saved, but he knew he couldn't stay saved smoking them cigarettes. Now, that's a change, and it's a sad thing for some of us. But he said, I want to change. So Clinton said, well, you can get rid of it tonight. Just kneel down here and pray after me. And he just began to pray. Lord, I know these cigarettes are not good for me. I know you don't want me to have them. Now, God, I want to be delivered. Now, God, I promise you I'll never put another cigarette in my mouth. And said the fellow just didn't say a word. He said, how can I do that? He said, I thought you wanted to be delivered. He said, well, I do. Well, if you'll tell God, you'll never put another one in your mouth. If you never put another in your mouth, you're delivered. It's the choices we make. And he said the first night he come back, his eyes were all black. You can tell he had a struggle. Chewing a wad of gum, choke a horse. Next night he came back, his eyes are blacker. Looks like he's death warmed over. The third night he comes back and the preacher starts the service. He raises his hands and let me testify. And he says, hallelujah, I've been set free. I don't even want another cigarette. Glory to God. It's in the choices that we make, not only with tobacco, but with a long tongue, with a lying tongue, with a despiteful attitude, with a spirit that rebels against everything. Maybe you're like the kissing fish. You have your own little reef there, and if anybody gets near it, you're going to jump on it. So how do you know what your reef is? Well, new person comes into the church, the first thing you talk to them about is your little reef. This is what I believe. This is my territory. Pastor don't look at it this way. Other people don't look at it this way. But he's just got a little old dumb, stupid church you're in, you know, and I'm in it too. But this is my reef. And what do we try to do? We mouth to mouth. Try to manipulate somebody to believe like we do. Come on. Amen. Let me tell you, you that are ultra conservative, there's somebody that's more conservative than you are. I found that out. You that are ultra liberal, you're always going to be condemned because there's somebody going to be more conservative than you. But you know what? You keep going. I told someone just this week, you can play that game, but you keep going. You keep going. And you will finally, if you really seek God, you'll come to the conclusion that business doesn't work. Because the further you get away from God, the more like you look like this world. And the more this world has a hold on you. And the more you have to spend on the psychiatrist's couch. Come on. The more nerve pills you got to shove down your goozle. Come on. Amen. The more you believe every report that the doctor says, go back, 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 go back. I would believe in chiropractic medicine if you could just go one time. But you got to go back and 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 go back. And when you get out of money, you get better. Take 17 treatments to treat that back. 17 treatments. Well, I went there when I was sick, you know, with my little thing. I went to a chiropractor. He pulled on my neck. He put me on a machine. He did everything. I said, I got things at home that'll do the same thing. But he said, if you come back, I'll guarantee you you'll get well. I didn't get well. Until I was touched by the Almighty right there, on that old dirty carpet. Amen. Amen. Fell out in the flesh. Made a decision in the spirit and walked out of here whole. Come on. Amen. Someone said, I ain't for that falling. I fall out all you want to, but get what you want from God. Get up different. Come on. Amen. Makes me feel good when you fall out. Somebody, every once in a while, people just fall out to help me out. Everybody else can knock them down. I can't knock them down. I can't understand. I can't knock them down. And I wish I could. Oh, I would like to knock everybody. Make you feel better, John. I'm going to fall down there once in a while. Just go ahead and do it for me. But when you get down there, do something about it. I got down there, laid down there. I know it made the preacher feel good, but I didn't care. I said, no, Lord, I'm down here. I laid down. You didn't knock me down. I laid down. Now, when I get up, I am healed. And I got up. And I was healed. Had one attack the next Sunday. And I was having them 50 attacks a day. Had one attack on this platform. And I laughed. I said, Devin, you're a liar. I was healed here last. Well, it was on a Tuesday night. I was healed here last Tuesday night. And I never had another one. Never had another one. Never had another one. I was going through my cabinet the other day pulling down pills. And I found all kinds of pills that they gave me for that ailment. And why didn't you throw them away? I just hate to throw things away I paid good money for. You know, you can always feed them to the dog. You ever hear sick as a dog? Give him some of them pills. Amen. That'll help him. God help him.